This is breaking news. The Attorney General testifies before the United States Senate.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
You've previously said that you think it's possible that the Federal Bureau of Investigation improperly spied on the Trump campaign. I assume that's a reference to the FISA warrant for Carter Page. Is that what you have in mind, or are there other circumstances that you've got in mind there?
Well, one of the things I want to look, there are people, many people seem to assume that the only intelligence collection that occurred was a single confidential informant and a FISA warrant. I'd like to find out whether that is in fact true. It strikes me as a fairly anemic effort if that was the counterintelligence effort designed to stop the threat as it's being represented.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
What are you doing to investigate unauthorized media contacts by the department and FBI officials during the Russian investigation?
We have multiple criminal leak investigations underway.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Multiple leak investigations underway. That's what Bill Barr just said. And then he talks about the basis upon which this investigation started. He used the word anemic. We played that in the open. I want to play it again because I think we need to start with that. Let's take a listen.
You've previously said that you think it's possible that the Federal Bureau of Investigation improperly spied on the Trump campaign. I assume that's a reference to the FISA warrant for Carter Page. Is that what you have in mind, or are there other circumstances that you've got in mind there?
Well, one of the things I want to look, there are people, many people seem to assume that the only intelligence collection that occurred was a single confidential informant and a FISA warrant. I'd like to find out whether that is in fact true. It strikes me as a fairly anemic effort if that was the counterintelligence effort designed to stop the threat as it's being represented.
All right, so I want to start with Andy Economy. By the way, this is testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, but Bill Barr, this is about the Mueller report. This comes on the heels of the letter that was disclosed between Mueller's office, or actually from Bob Mueller to the Attorney General, regarding his conclusions on the principal findings. So that was discussed as well. But when you talk about anemic basis upon which a counterintelligence investigation was designed, what is that telling you?
Very weak. In other words, it was pusillanimous, to use a 50-cent word. It was a weak investigation, a weak pretext in order to conduct a counterintelligence investigation against the campaign of the president, of the man who became president of the United States and subsequently was elected president. That's not an adequate predicate basis. And he is looking into seeing if there is an adequate predicate basis. And he calls that, if it wasn't, spying, and he sticks by his word, and I applaud him for it.
What, Jordan, how do you read so far what we've seen? We're going to get into the specifics of this. What's your sense?
You know, I saw these stories ahead of time. Barr faces grilling. Barr faces, you know, this disastrous hearing.
Right.
And I see a bunch of senators who still haven't read the Mueller report, who aren't educated enough to even probably get through a lot of the Mueller report and put it all together, don't spend the time to educate themselves on it. Because I listened to this exchange where he embarrassed yet another Democrat senator who tries to get him on the spot about some executive summaries that were included. This is Sheldon Whitehouse, a classic Sheldon Whitehouse. Take a listen to this. I mean, this is someone whose staff should get fired for handing a U.S. senator this question to ask an attorney general who has shown time and time again, you better be prepared when you try to catch him with some kind of gotcha question. Take a listen.
When you talk about the executive summaries that Mueller provided you, they are the documents that were the enclosed documents with that letter, which we have not been provided.
I think they were.
They
have been provided them. They're in the report. They're the summaries in the report.
It's the language of the report in the report? There is nothing else that he provided you then?
I think that's what he provided.
Okay.
I mean, so you didn't get this. Here's the whole problem.
It.
You know what the whole problem
not
with their letter? Yeah. Here's the whole problem with their letter. This letter with Bob, and they're trying to make a big deal out of it. The entire report with very limited redactions was released. So it kind of is a self-fulfilling prophecy here. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Giving you full analysis when we come back. Thank you for your support of the ACLJ. Met our goal for yesterday.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, we're giving you analysis. They just concluded, as we're live with you, the first half of the investigation or the conversation with Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, regarding the Mueller investigation. Now, what's interesting on this was, as Jordan said, all the headlines were grilling. This is going to be, you know, intense questioning to the Attorney General by the members of the Senate. They have not read, those that are able to, that are authorized to, they have not read the unredacted report, which has been available to them. Two members of the Congress have, both Republicans. And they're doing this as a matter of what, protest? The whole thing's ridiculous. But listen to Lindsey Graham questioning the Attorney General in a series of questions. It's a lengthy quote here. It's about 53 seconds, so take a listen.
Do you expect to change your mind about the bottom line conclusions of the Mueller report?
No.
Do you know Bob Mueller?
Yes.
Do you trust him?
Yes.
How long have you known him?
30 years, roughly.
You think he had the time he needed?
Yes.
You think he had the money he needed?
Yes.
You think he had the resources he needed?
Yes.
Do you think he did a thorough job?
Yes, and I think he feels he did a thorough job and had adequate evidence to make the calls.
Do you think the president's campaign in 2016 was thoroughly looked at in terms of whether or not they colluded with the Russians?
Yes.
And the answer is no, according to Bob Mueller.
That's right.
He couldn't decide about obstruction. You did. Is that correct?
That's right.
You feel good about your decision?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
All right, Andy, what does that tell you?
There's no case. There's no case of obstruction of justice. The evidence is not there. Wouldn't take it to a jury. I trust him rather than some of the opinions that I've heard from a former deputy acting attorney general, Sally Yates, who had the effrontery to say that she's prosecuted a lot of obstruction cases.
Well, yeah, but she could be right involved in those FISA things that are now, the FISA warrants that are under investigation.
That's exactly correct, because she was deputy attorney general at the time. Yep. Those FISA warrants were presented to a U.S. district judge. So I think that the conclusion that the Bill Barr reached is absolutely correct. And more important, Jay, it's within his province as attorney general to do.
Well, you know, and he could have just given a summary of the report to the Congress and that's it. The report is a confidential report, but instead the White House, the Department of Justice released the entire report with very limited redactions. They were stunned at the lack of redactions. Harry, during the break, I asked you what you kind of thought of where we are on this and what you're seeing. I think for our radio audience, it's important to hear what you said.
Well, Jay, after hundreds of people were interviewed by Special Counsel Mueller, after dozens of witnesses were called before the grand jury, after millions of pages of documents were received by the special counsel. Dozens of FBI agents were deployed. A 400-page report was filed. And Attorney General Barr has testified before Congress for hours on end. The bottom line remains the same. No collusion, no obstruction. This collusion, no matter this claim of collusion, was designed to do one thing and one thing only, and that was to undermine the results of the 2016 election.
So I'm going to go to, I want to play another one here, but I want to ask a question to Bill. Do we have the setup question to number 23? Because I think it's, oh, this was part of his, Bill Barr's opening statement. I think it's worth taking a listen. This kind of sets forth, this was, comes on the heels of this letter from Mueller to Barr that said he was concerned about the context which some of this came out. And then the Attorney General has stated again that he asked Bob Mueller if there was anything in the letter that he thinks was inaccurate. This was the letter with the principal conclusion that was delivered to Congress before the report was released. And the Attorney General said again that Bob Mueller said no. It's not that the principal conclusions or the letter was incorrect. It's just kind of the context of what's happening here. But the ridiculous nature of this is, the entire report has been released
since this letter from Mueller to Barr about the 4-page letter. I mean, the 4-page letter. Okay, that happened. Now we have the full report. Media, why can't you figure out and do your job? They gave you the full report. So Bob Mueller complaining or not about how it was characterized in 4-page summary to the American people. You know what the problem was, Bob? Your report was so bad that to try and do a 4-page summary was difficult.
Nobody could do that.
Was difficult. Bill Barr tried to get it to the meat of the matter. The meat of the matter, which was, did the Russians collude with the Trump campaign? Remember, that's what this was all supposed to be about. And then secondary obstruction. And by the way, I mean, if Bob Mueller thought that there was obstruction charge and thought he couldn't bring it, he could have said that. He could have said that in the report. He could have said, we would have brought an obstruction charge, but we don't think we can accept OLC policy.
He did not say that.
He was either too afraid to do it, or he knew the truth. And the truth was, the evidence wasn't there.
There was no way. If you look at each of those allegations that are in the obstruction portion and you read the entire report, you see that they say, well, it could have meant that. It may have meant this. We think it's this, but it could have been that, including the testimony about Don McGahn. They say in the report that the president may have perceived it, and I think Bill Barr did a really good job of setting that forth, as not a directive to terminate, but a directive to raise the question of, and this is important, the issue of conflict of interest. But let me say something constitutionally here. Don't forget, and I know Andy will back me up on this, do not forget that the president had the inherent authority under the Constitution to terminate the special counsel if he wanted to. He did not. But he had the, let's not ignore the fact that the president has the constitutional authority, Andy, to do that.
The absolute truth. He had the right under the Constitution to end the Mueller investigation if he had wanted to do so. Mueller was nothing but another U.S. attorney. That's all he was, Jay. He was just another U.S. attorney. We don't have independent counsel anymore. We don't do that kind of nonsense. He was a U.S. attorney who are appointed by the president, serve at the will of the president, and can be terminated by the president. And the president did not do that. For 22 months, he endured the eye of the special counsel and the investigation. He didn't interfere with it. He didn't obstruct it. He didn't try to undermine it. He did make statements about it, which he had the constitutional right to make statements under freedom of speech with respect to what he believed, that it was a witch hunt and a hoax. And guess what, Jay? It turned out to be just exactly what President Trump said it was, a hoax and a witch hunt that ended up with nothing but millions of dollars spent and conclusions reached that we all knew were going to be reached anyway.
Yeah, Wes?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting and significant that A.G. Barr said that he and Rod Rosenstein disagreed with Mueller's legal theories regarding obstruction of justice, but even though they disagreed with it, using Mueller's own theories, they still found no obstruction of justice, and that's significant. And it is in the Mueller report, even if you don't want to say that you can indict a sitting president, the DOJ rule on that, you can still find criminal conduct, and he did not.
No, he says, we're not... we're not saying the president committed a crime. We're not exonerating. I mean, we've gone through that whole exoneration thing. Let me play. This is another one for Senator Whitehouse. This is number 40, and it's a little over a minute. But we're playing this, so you want, I want to be able to, you know, everybody up here on our panel is legally trained. So I want you to understand the legal ramification of this. Listen to the question from Senator Whitehouse and the response.
The interesting thing to me is that it goes on to say that because of the OLC opinion, we have to give the president an extra benefit of the doubt because he is denied his day in court where he could exonerate himself. That seems like a fallacy to me, because if you are the president of the United States, you can either waive or readily override the OLC opinion and say, I'm ready to go to trial. I want to exonerate myself. Let's go. Could you not?
How is this relevant to my decisions?
It's relevant
because, I assumed that there was no OLC opinion.
Well, we have a report in front of us that says that this influenced the outcome. And in particular, it says it influenced the outcome because it deprived the president of his ability to have his day in court. And my point to you is that the president could easily have his day in court by simply waiving or overriding this OLC opinion that has no judicial basis. Correct?
Well, I don't think that there was anything to have a day in court on. I think that the government did not have a prosecutable case.
There you have it. Nor did Bob Mueller.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Bob Mueller said.
Right.
Bob Mueller said, we can't figure out if we could bring this or not.
Right. Not just because of the OLC opinion.
They're the tough, greatest prosecutors in the country, right? And they couldn't figure it out.
Okay, so here's what you have to understand. Not because the OLC opinion did not impact the lens upon which Bill Barr and Rod Rosenstein, as the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, evaluated this obstruction issue. And the Attorney General said again that Bob Mueller told him that they did not, it was not a but for, in other words, but for, Andy, the OLC opinion, we would have brought a case. He said that was not the situation.
That was not the situation. He didn't. He did it regardless of the OLC opinion. That did not figure into the decision. He made the decision that a prosecutor makes. He looks at the evidence, and he makes a decision as the Attorney General. He made that decision based upon Mueller's factual findings. Mueller's factual findings were there was no obstruction of justice, and Attorney General Barr said, I agree with that. There is not, and therefore I am not prosecuting it.
All right, we're taking a break, but let me tell you what we're doing on Facebook and Periscope. We're not taking a break. We're going to keep this conversation going for our radio audience. We'll get right back to you after the commercial break here, but there's a lot to talk about, and we're going to take your questions and comments, 1-800-684-3110. Already some coming in on Facebook. We'll get to those during the break. Share this with your friends right now. We're giving you real analysis, in-depth analysis of what's transpired so far. I'm sure we'll have more on tomorrow's broadcast as well. All right, we're going to take a break, but I want to say a thank you. I know Jordan does too, for your support this month, last month, for the ACLJ.
Yeah, it was a great response to our two-month matching challenge. Certainly met our goals. We thank all of you who took part and made that matching challenge donation up until midnight last night. We appreciate it, and it all counted. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, we're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. We just got some word, I guess, that they're trying to work out a Bob Mueller to testify.
Yeah, it looks like Bob Mueller has agreed to testify. It's a breaking entourage. And that they are coming up with a date this month. Well, this is the first date.
They've been saying that for a couple of weeks, but I think Bill Barr said that. He's happy for him to testify.
Saying, yes, let Mueller testify. You know, we said the first day this report came out, when we started reading through it, and Andy was on this before you were on, Dad, and we were talking about how choppy it was and how poorly written some of the sentence was, and goofily written kind of the sentences were, including that obstruction sentence, that you had to wonder if Bob Mueller had really put the final touches on this report or just let his deputies, which he was known to do, so this is not a slam, but he was known to do at the FBI, to really let his deputies write report sections that they were focused on and then kind of compile it. So when he goes to testify, I hope he reads the full report before, because it could be pretty goofy because Bill Barr knows it. And that's the thing. Bill Barr knows this by section. He knows what's included. If he needs to go back, he's clear about it. He took his time to make sure he could answer these questions. They keep building up Mueller as their hero. I guarantee you he's going to find Russian collusion. He didn't. He's going to bring obstruction or say there was. He didn't. So what do you expect to hear from him on what? He didn't like a 4-page summary, but then the 400 pages came out?
That's the whole ridiculous. I mean, it was a summary of principal conclusions. It wasn't a summary of the 400 pages, and the entire document is out with minimal redactions. I think all of them were, the media was, shocked at the lack of redactions, because they were all saying before, it is word we're receiving, it is heavily, heavily redacted. And I think, what was it, less than 0.1% in volume 2? And I think it was about, what was the volume 1? About 5% in volume 1, and that was because of the ongoing criminal investigations regarding the Russia, what Russian agents were purportedly doing. This is the situation with the hacking and also the memes and the troll farms that were going on, the social media app work that was being done by the Russians, or the manipulation being done by the Russians on that. So that's ongoing. So there were some redactions there because there's ongoing cases. But that was it. I mean, that's it. So the report is out. So this is where it's absurd. Let's go right back to kind of the key takeaways here. There's a concern about leaks. James Comey leaked. Andrew McCabe leaked. I mean, there's a lot of leaking going on at the FBI. This was addressed by Senator Grassley, number 41.
There have been a number of leaks coming out of the Justice Department, FBI, during high-profile investigations. The Inspector General found that during the department's investigation of Hillary Clinton for mishandling highly classified information, there was a culture of unauthorized media contacts. During the Russian investigation, the leaks continued. Leaks undermined the ability of investigators to investigate. Further leaks to the papers while Congress's questions to the department go unanswered is unacceptable. Why? What are you doing to investigate unauthorized media contacts by the department and FBI officials during the Russian investigation?
We have multiple criminal leak investigations underway.
There you have it. So, Andy, what does that tell you?
That he's going to get to the bottom of it, because that's the kind of a person that Attorney General Barr is. He is a no-nonsense prosecutor. He's been attorney general. He is unflappable, as we saw during the questioning.
The fact that there was this culture of leaks, as Michael Horwitz said, what does that mean to you as a prosecutor?
Well, that's terrible. I mean, I'm prosecuting a murder case, and I've got agents of the GBI or of the state law enforcement out there looking up and talking to people who might be witnesses in the case, and at the same time, those investigators are talking to the newspapers about what they're doing. That could compromise the investigation and screw up the prosecution, is what it can do, and that's not the way you prosecute a case. And it also could implicate innocent people who might not have been included in the not in any crime.
So you think about the importance that would have on a murder case. How about the importance a culture of leaks would have on the largest and most important investigation in most people's lifetime politically involving the President of the United States, at least since Watergate. So if you have a culture of leaks, yeah, it's bad during normal crimes, bad crimes like murders, but especially bad when there's a culture of leaks surrounding such a investigation that has the potential to divide our country as it has over 2 years. This has been horrendous for the country. And what Bob Mueller's team did by dragging it on, dragged on the political division of the country. I mean, I think that's what they should be remembered for.
Especially when you read volume one and you know really quickly they knew there was no collusion.
They could have shut the door right then and said, you know what, there's no Russian collusion here. Here's the report. You trusted us. Everybody said they trust Bob Mueller. No Russian collusion. America, move on.
Harry, what do you think?
Well, I think evidence that leaks occurred mean one thing and one thing only. That is, bias has infected a very important investigation. And there is clear evidence of bias already available in the public record. And so I look forward to the Inspector General's report, because I believe that that report will substantiate that there was indeed clear and unmistakable evidence of bias in the FBI, the DOJ. We don't have to go back and look at a litany of individuals like Peter Strzok and Bruce Orr and Lisa Page to understand beyond question that the investigation of President Trump, by and large, was launched by biased actors.
So, Wes, when you look at this now, you know, we've only had about half the testimony, so when we're off the air, the rest of it will probably hit tomorrow. But what's your takeaway right now?
I think that the Democrats on the Senate committee, they're very, very troubled by the facts, and they keep looking for something else, for something else, for something else. And no matter what answers they get, whether it's from Bob Mueller or from A.G. Barr, it's not enough for them. And Harry's right. The political bias, these leaks, some of them were leaks of classified information, which is against federal law. But the other leaks were strategically timed in order to promote a campaign against then candidate Trump and then later on President Trump. This investigation began on July 31st, 2016, while President Trump was running for office. But that counterintelligence investigation, based on false information and false premises, it continued even after he was the sitting president.
I know that is shocking. I know that. Right, exactly.
You know, it's interesting. Joe on Facebook wrote in, I think it underscores, again, that the members of Congress, including their staff, have no interest in actually reading a report because they know the conclusions aren't what they like, and that the parts that they even think they could utilize, they've got to rely on, well, as Joe said, why are members of Congress relying on the media to inform them of what's going on, and why are they using media reports to attack the Attorney General? It's because they can't use the 400-page report, and the 2-page Bob Mueller letter is moot now because the 400-plus-page report has been released by Bill Barr. I mean, that is why. So they are going to this, oh, there's going to be a grilling. Oh, there was this letter. But this letter is now an old letter.
Well, it's an old letter because the report came out. So, you know, whether Bob Mueller thought that what the right context was in there, the Attorney General said never said the letter was incorrect in what it said, Andy. No. I mean, really quickly here.
No, he didn't. And as we said, the letter that Mueller sent is now moot because the whole document he composed, or his subordinates more likely composed, is out. So who cares about what he said in his commentary letter to the Attorney General subsequent? Nobody.
All right, we got a lot more ahead in the next half hour. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, go over to Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. You can get it there. We're going to be back in just a moment. If you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Got some comments coming in from Facebook. We'll get to those during the breaks. Back with more, including your comments. A lot ahead. See you in a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.
Talking about freedom. Talking about freedom. live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What are you doing to investigate unauthorized media contacts by the department and FBI officials during the Russian investigation?
We have multiple criminal leak investigations underway.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Big takeaway from this hearing so far, and that is multiple criminal leak investigations going on. And I think that is very, very significant. But Jordan, you said something earlier. You know, the Attorney General's testifying today in front of the Senate. Tomorrow's supposed to be the House, but the House just passed a resolution saying, or the committee, that they're going to allow their lawyers to ask the questions, not just House members.
Right. And I think it's because they look at this hearing today, they see these senators who get elected to six-year terms with bigger staffs, better legal counsels, more experienced legal counsels, and more experienced older staff, a more seasoned staff. And so you see someone like Sheldon Whitehouse who put forward, he used his 5 minutes to ask a question that was absurd, ridiculous. We played it. He obviously just didn't know it was in the report, and he thought it was going to be a gotcha question. So if you're Jerry Nadler and you're seeing these senators get one by one by one made to be look foolish after the media builds it up as Bill Barr grilling on Capitol Hill, even though it's a committee that's chaired by Lindsey Graham. So, I mean, okay, we'll put that aside. But if it's going that bad for Democrat senators, if you're Jerry Nadler, you imagine how bad it will go for a somewhat more out-of-control House members who will start acting a little goofy, as they sometimes do, or shout like they sometimes do. And you've got Bill Barr there who's got the same tone, who is quick on his feet, quick to respond accurately. He's not going to take any of their junk. And it's a no surprise then that he is afraid of having his House members question Bill Barr. So he wants the attorneys to do it, which, by the way, this is the Attorney General of the United States.
Right.
These members of Congress are afraid to ask a cabinet member questions who they have this oversight over that they keep talking about, but they don't want to ask the questions directly.
Okay, so let's also remember this. James Comey leaked to the press himself, and he leaked to the press with the hope of getting a special counsel. He got a special counsel who finds there was no collusion and says, I can't say there was a crime on obstruction, but I can't exonerate either. So it's not the conclusion James Comey wants. He called it, I think he said it was a peculiar conclusion, which is it wasn't what James Comey wanted. And then there was questions about, or Lindsey Graham said, let's play some sound or talk about who say he reads quotes from people talking about James Comey. Take a listen.
Let me tell you a little bit about Comey. I do not have confidence in him, Comey, any longer. That was Chuck Schumer, November the 2nd, 2016. I think he, Comey, should take a hard look at what he has done, and I think it would not be a bad thing for the American people if he did step down, Bernie Sanders, January the 15th, 2017. The president ought to fire Comey immediately, and he ought to initiate an investigation. That is Congressman Nadler, November the 14th, 2016. Did you have a problem with the way Comey handled the Clinton email investigation?
Yes, I said so at the time.
Remember, that subject right now, Wes, of an Inspector General report, and they're also investigating leaks.
Yeah, A.G. Barr says there are ongoing criminal investigations about the leaking, as there should be. You know, looking at all the theatrics and the political gymnastics of the Democrats, I'm reminded of this quote from John Adams, and I just looked it up. Facts are stubborn things. And whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passions, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. And boy, that is so on display here.
I wonder, Harry, if we only got a minute here, if they went into this thinking one thing, hoping for one thing, and it just got taken away from them immediately.
Well, I think that is true. I think the Dems, they look at the Mueller report, and he has disappointed one of their fondest dreams, because Mueller could not find a shred of prosecutable evidence on two issues, collusion and obstruction of justice. So now the Democrats are flailing publicly.
So far, it's been something else. As we're live with you, we've seen about the first half of it. We'll have more analysis, I'm sure, on the broadcast tomorrow. But what a first half it's been. All right, we're taking your calls, comments. Robert's on hold. Hang in there. A couple others are 1-800-684-3110. We got a video coming up from our friends on Facebook and Periscope. 1-800-684-3110. And again, thank you for your support of the ACLJ last month. Made our goal. Thank you. Back with more in a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
The hearing in the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee will begin again in about 15 or 20 minutes. So just as we're going off the air, but all the news networks are covering it, the big question is what will happen with the House hearing tomorrow? We've discussed that as well with Chairman Nadler and the Democrats saying Attorney General Barr must be questioned by House attorneys. By the way, I'm sure he could easily handle those House attorneys, but it's bizarre and it's not right. And it's not how things are done. Members of Congress have the oversight ability, not their staff. It is the congressmen that are elected to have the oversight, not the staff that they choose to ask questions. And I think it's just because they're scared. They'd rather have a 25-year-old getting beaten back and forth by Bill Barr than themselves on cable news, hoping that one gets some stinger in with a smirk on their face instead of them getting beaten back and forth. I mean, I really do believe that that is the issue. You know what also has come up in this. I want to play this on the Clinton side because people talk about this a lot. And I want to take your calls 1-800-684-3110. The problems with the FISA warrant process and also how the Clinton email investigation was run. All of that is being reviewed by Bill Barr. We now know, which I think is freaking Democrats out. Take a listen. Byte 34.
Do you share my concerns about the FISA warrant process?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns about the counterintelligence investigation, how it was opened and why it was opened?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns that the professional lack of professionalism in the Clinton email investigation is something we should all look at?
Yes.
I mean, I think the Democrats, they should be very cautious here, and they are not being very cautious, but they should be extremely cautious about how they proceed because they could be going down a hole that gets a lot of their friends in a whole lot of trouble. I mean, they already wanted Jim Comey fired until it was Donald Trump who did it, and suddenly that's obstruction of justice for Jerry Nadler. I mean, how does he get out of that hole? He can't. I would shove that in his face all day tomorrow, and I'm sure everyone will, including other Republican members of Congress. Why, again, he doesn't want to have to be the one leading the questioning. So he wants staff to do it that didn't make those kind of statements. Chuck Schumer and others. And now you look at the professionalism around the Clinton email investigation, criminal leak investigation. The criminal leakers there, or the potential criminal leakers there, are the names we've been talking about. The McCabes, the Comeys, the Strzoks, the Pages, and I'm sure there's a whole lot more folks. But that is who we're talking about. I want to go right to the phones. We do want your comments in. I know we've been providing a lot of commentary. I know when this team does it, you know we're close to this issue very much, so you're not going to get it anywhere else, including members of the president's own legal team here. But we do want your comments as well, because our radio show is for you also to be able to speak out and let your voice be heard and ask your questions, but also your comments. Robert's calling in from California on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen. I have a comment this morning, and my comment is that, you know, I almost wish they had found something. I'm 100% supporter of the president.
Yeah.
But it shows how far our government has fallen and the corruption that's in it. And it's really embarrassing. I was laughing at first, but now it's really heartbreaking.
No,
I used to be a Democrat, and I got out of there because I seen where they were going.
Well, I think it's great that how open and honest you are, Robert. I mean, Wes, to me, I know in your background as a minister as well, for what it's doing to the country, this is what's so wrong, is that instead of Democrats celebrating that absolutely no one on our U.S. presidential campaign colluded with the Russians or any other foreign entity, should be a great thing for the country. And hey, this was fully investigated. Even if we don't believe it should have been investigated in the first place, the whole thing was kind of based off phoniness. Total exoneration on that point. And yet they couldn't leave it there. They must then have, they had to jump to, well, how else can we sully the president and keep the country divided?
Yeah. It is shocking that members of the Democrat Party are disappointed that no American colluded with the Russians, including the president. They are heartbroken over this, and that is shocking. The American people deserve to have confidence in their government, and Robert is right. That confidence has been shaken. And instead of going forward, there are a lot of things the American people are concerned about, rightfully so. And instead of looking at meaningful legislation, they are spending millions of dollars and hours of time as our elected members of Congress to continue this investigation that really is an investigation on the congressional level without warrant. And it is dividing the American people. And I think, frankly, most Americans are tired of it. They want to move on. They want Congress to do their job and pass meaningful legislation, for example, on immigration reform and things like that. Congress, basically, I think they are wasting the American taxpayers' time and their dollars on this. And it's a shame that they're still looking for more when obviously there is, as Peter Strzok said, no there.
And he was the head of counterintelligence that opened this investigation. Didn't even want to join the special counsel's team because he said there was nothing to find. You know, we had Harry and Andy have to go through this multiple times through the definition of spying. It came up again today because the Democrats don't want to let this one go either. Sheldon Whitehouse embarrassed once again by Attorney General Barr when asked about his use of the word spying. It's like when they couldn't get him any more on the Mueller report. Listen to this. It's so funny. It's like, so his Mueller report question crashed and burned, Sheldon Whitehouse, because he's like, is the document in there? Yeah. Well, I thought it wasn't. Well, it is. Okay. I mean, that's how it went. Then he had to go to, well, what about when you said spying? Take a listen, Byte 49.
Have you ever referred to authorized department investigative activities officially or publicly as spying? I'm not asking for private conversation.
I'm not going to abjure the use of the word spying. I think, you know, my first job was in CIA, and I don't think the word spying has any pejorative connotation at all.
The question
is always whether or not it's authorized and adequately predicated spying. I think spying is a good English word that, in fact, doesn't have synonyms because it is the broadest word incorporating really all forms of covert intelligence collection. So I'm not going to back off the word spying, except I will say I'm not suggesting any pejorative, and I use it frequently, media.
And you know, it's interesting because there is, again, this crosstalk that follows. I want to remind people that it was not Attorney General Barr who initially kind of used the word. It was actually Jeanne Shaheen who said, you don't think there was spying on the campaign? And then he said, yes. So then take a listen again, but this exchange between Bill Barr and Sheldon Whitehouse.
When he challenged me and said, you want to change your language, I was actually thinking, like, what's the issue? I don't consider it a pejorative. And frankly, we went back and looked at press usage, and up until all the FOIA outrage a couple of weeks ago, it's commonly used in the press to refer to authorized activities, such as referring to the FISA court as the spy court.
But it's not commonly used by the department.
What?
It is not commonly used by the department. My time is
commonly used by me.
And he is the head of the department. Right. I mean, this is my point. He comes from the CIA. He's been the attorney general twice. If he uses the term, if the attorney general uses the term, then the department uses the term. I mean, he speaks. He is the number one spokesperson for the department. He is the attorney general of the United States. And I mean, it is, again, this the Democrats threw this word out thinking they would get it. Oh, no. And instead, they had to eat their own words. It was Jeanne Shaheen's fault. It was that other new senator from Hawaii, I think, yeah, who played that game. And now Sheldon Whitehouse, does he really want to remind people about how bad Democrats looked that day? I guess so.
Well, Sheldon Whitehouse, we've seen his performance on the Judiciary Committee and elsewhere. He obviously has not read the report, or he would have known the contents of the report when he referred to the addenda to the letter that was included in there. You know, just read the report and you'll find them. Then he says, well, I fell flat on my face on that. Let me see if I can get him on spying. So I try to use the word spying, and Barr throws that right back into his face again. And finally, mercifully for Whitehouse, his 5 minutes comes to an end.
Yeah. Harry.
I think that's precisely correct. So Sheldon Whitehouse has conclusively demonstrated his incompetence. He would look so much better if he would simply shut up. He simply doesn't understand a simple word. Spying is spying, no matter how much Senator Whitehouse dislikes it, and no matter how much faux outrage he's able to muster. So Senator Whitehouse ought to do himself a favor, and instead of attending additional hearings with Attorney General Barr, he should spend time on the golf course where he is perhaps more competent.
All right. Again, we're taking your comments, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Going into our final segment, we open the lines up. The hearing is soon to begin again. I don't know if it will begin while we're still on the air live. You know, we're live noon to 1 Eastern time. We'll have more coverage of this because there's still this big question about will the Attorney General testify tomorrow at the House version of this committee, the House Judiciary Committee, chaired by Chairman Nadler, who said that Jim Comey should be fired, and then now believes that the president is guilty of obstruction of justice, as does Joe Biden, by the way. To note that Joe Biden thinks impeachment should be on the table, easy for him when he doesn't actually have to vote on it anymore, and I think he's trying to put his other rivals in the Democrat nomination a tough place. But there's going to be a lot to talk about, so give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Played a lot of sound bites from, or several sound bites from Senator Whitehouse, Jordan. Senator Whitehouse was the senator that complained and pressured the IRS to investigate the Tea Party groups in case we won against the IRS in federal court.
Yeah, that's right.
Just a point of reference.
Yep. I mean, it is just important. I mean, we can, this is out of the Providence Journal, is that Whitehouse was pressuring, this goes back to 2014. Two conservative organizations in Washington filed complaints with the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Ethics, charging that Senator Sheldon Whitehouse has unlawfully exerted pressure on the IRS to investigate conservative organizations, and specifically the Tea Party Patriots, Tea Party organizations, and the investigation of whether Sheldon Whitehouse violated Senate rules by unlawfully and unethically exerting pressure on federal agencies to investigate the Tea Party, conservative and free market nonprofit organizations, and to criminally prosecute groups because of their philosophical differences with an opposition to his liberal points of view. Yeah. And remember, we knew from our work that when the FBI got involved, this was the FBI under these Comey types, we were very concerned for our clients because of the push that was coming from Democrats to go after them criminally.
Yep. There's another thing also.
Lois Lerner talked about
exactly.
That. Let's find one to prosecute.
Yes, with the DOJ and FEC. Yeah. So all that was part of this. There's another interesting aspect of the Barr testimony in that he was repeatedly questioned about how long it had gone and what was going on and what his thought process was. And then he said this. I don't think we have the sound on this, but I'll read it. It says Barr says this. The other thing that was confusing to me talking about Mueller's report was that the investigation carried on for a while as additional episodes. Purported episodes of obstruction were looked into, Barr said. The question is, or was, why were those investigated at the end of the day if you weren't going to reach a decision, Andy? And nobody has a good answer for that. Maybe Bob Mueller will when he testifies.
Well, Bob Mueller may when he testifies. Of course, he's discredited now because the Democrats don't like him because he didn't find what they wanted him to find. Comey was wonderful, right, until he implicated Hillary Clinton in some potential wrongdoing. Now they loved him, then they hated him. Mueller went out there and he was given the task by the Democrats,
right.
You go find something. He said, I can't find. So they loved him, now they hated him. So it's just a political
game. We actually do have the sound. Let me play it, number 28.
As to obstruction of justice, were you surprised he was going to let you decide?
Yes, I was surprised. I think the very the function he was carrying out, the prosecutive and investigative and prosecutive function, is performed for the purpose of making that.
How many people did he actually indict? Do you know?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
So he actually has the ability to indict if he wants to. He's used that power during the investigation. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the other thing that was confusing to me is that the investigation carried on for a while as additional episodes were looked into, episodes right. involving the president. And so my question is, why were those investigated if at the end of the day you aren't going to reach a decision on them?
Harry?
Well, I agree with Attorney General Barr. I'm surprised that Bob Mueller didn't do his job. Why didn't he reach a conclusion on obstruction
of justice? There was no evidence to do it. That's the reason. But go ahead.
Well, I agree with that. But he wanted to, this is my interpretation, leave it somewhat vague and somewhat ambiguous. But that wasn't his job. And so the Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein reached the correct conclusion. Why? There was no adducible, no prosecutable evidence available on obstruction of justice.
If it's vague and ambiguous, Andy, as a prosecutor, what do?
You don't prosecute. I'm not going to take a vague and ambiguous case to the grand jury where I basically control what happens, and much less then get an indictment and take it to a pettit jury, a trial jury, and try to get a conviction, I say walk away from it. That's what I would do. So, that's what I've done. That's what was done here and should have been.
So on MSNBC, this is interesting to me, Brian Williams interrupted the testimony of, or the opening statement of Senator Graham. Listen to what he said.
You have to have specific intent to obstruct justice. If there's no underlying crime.
We're reluctant to do this. We rarely do. But the chairman of the Judiciary Committee just said that Mueller found there was no collusion. That is not correct. Nicole Wallace, the report says collusion is not a thing they considered. It doesn't exist in federal code.
This is the basis upon which you're interrupting the Senate Judiciary Committee's chairmanship because Bob Mueller said that in his report, which we've been saying, by the way, for 2 years, there's no such thing as collusion.
Right.
That's not a legal prosecution. That's not a crime.
They also said no conspiracy.
Yeah, but they did say no conspiracy, which is the crime part. So, you know, I thought that was it. This shows you the bias in the media on this, Wes, was unbelievable. Palpable. They stop in the middle of this. Oh, he didn't say there was no collusion because there was no collusion because is not a crime. And then they don't say, but by the way, he did find there was no conspiracy. There you go, Wes.
Yeah, the thing I like about Attorney General Barr is that he owns his response to this report. He is not dodging it. He is unflappable. And the bottom line is there are no legal problems for the president, no collusion or conspiracy, and no obstruction of justice. Look for the political gamesmanship to continue because it will. But I think the American people have just about had enough of this. And at the same time, I think the American people do want to know about unauthorized spying on Americans, misleading a FISA court, and then trying to, you know, to undo an election that was free and fair. The American people chose Donald Trump, and they tried to undo it. The American people are very concerned about that. I don't think they're concerned much anymore about this Mueller report. I'm glad that A.G. Barr is owning it and that he's not dodging the questions.
What's your sense? I mean, it's about to start for our radio audience that were listening live. We're going to have more analysis on them for those listening to tape as well. We're going to have more analysis on this tomorrow, obviously, the second half of the testimony. But what's your takeaway so far?
So far, I think this was supposed to be the grilling by the Democrats and on the Senate side.
CNN's
of this. CNN's
still running that on the Chiron.
Yeah, and they've looked foolish. The big question will be for tomorrow is what happens with the House Judiciary Committee. I mean, still some bombshells could come and some back and forth. It'll be interesting. I'm sure will happen out of this hearing today. There'll be some interesting parts and back and forth exchanges.
I don't think there's any
bombshells. Bombshells for the other side.
Uh-huh.
They look foolish. They're fun to play. It's kind of these exchanges of goofiness by these Senate Democrats. Maybe they learn after this first break, they better figure out, like, either just ask some serious questions or don't ask any questions at all. But the bigger question, I think, is what is going to happen tomorrow with the Nadler Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, and their vote to allow their counsels to testify.
And Andy, your view on that is no.
I wouldn't answer any questions from some staff attorney. If a congressman who's been elected by the citizens of a district want to ask a question, I'll answer the question. I'm a cabinet member. I do that, but I'm not going to answer some staffer's question. And by the way, the grilling of Barr isn't even light toast.
Always. See, he was gone last week. You missed all this. All right, that does it for the broadcast. Hey, can I again say a huge thank you to our audience that's listening on radio and Facebook and Periscope and TV. A huge thank you for your support of the ACLJ last month. It made a huge difference. We met our goals for April and for March as well, and that's because of your support of the ACLJ. So all we want to say today about that is thank you so much. If you want to stay engaged with us, we encourage you to do it on social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as I now know we have. So we encourage you to do that as well. And, of course, sign up for our newsletters. You can do that at ACLJ.org. It's a great place to stay engaged and involved. It is going to the website of the American Center for Law and Justice. That's going to do it for our broadcast today. Tomorrow, more analysis. We'll talk to you then.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.